Australian Bible Church, Presbyterian Church, focusing Jesus Christ, the everlasting God, the Word, who became flesh, flesh that spoke, flesh they broke, and overcame death in man once and for all, giving us the glory. We don't have to quit. We have the Christ instead. Today, Elijah, Elisha, and the grand scheme and schedule of things. Christ said, as we read in Matthew 11, if you will receive it, 11:14, if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Who? John the Baptist, the one who introduced Christ, the one who pointed out to Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptist, a prophet to whom many, many Israelites went out to meet in the desert, where he had been for years. A prophet in the desert with a pulsing popularity among the people. And he pointed out Jesus, there is the Lamb of God. And Christ said, if you will receive it, this is Elijah, who is to come. However, is John the Baptist Elijah? The prophecy was that John the Baptist would take the place of Elijah as a pointer, like a pointer star to the Southern Cross here. John the Baptist predicted in Malachi, this was the Elijah who was to come. The Jewish people long before Christ were told, there's going to be one to come. Elijah will come. Well, obviously Elijah wasn't going to be brought up from the grave in a special case like that. It meant someone like Elijah, someone with the same sort of function as Elijah come. You're going to have a great prophet who will be named Elijah in your thought when you connect it with the famous Elijah. Elijah, famous especially for his test on Mount Carmel when he was a prophet. The test. They've gone for idols. The same as this generation has gone for idols. It's interesting to see that Dr. Nathaniel Jeanson of Harvard, who wrote the book, This is the New Origin of Species. This is the book which displaces Darwin's book. That is because of the facts and the figures. Darwin said, I don't find all the transitional fossils in the ground. No, they weren't there. And as one of the directors of a major Commonwealth biological laboratory said, the position is much the same today. They're not there. We don't have any reference to DNA ever being written, except there's a huge amount written. That's all life. It's all governed by that in part. And then it stopped, just as the Bible said. God said it, it stopped. And now we know that it works according to that word. Those are idols of today as real as those in the day of Elijah and Elisha. Let's have a look at John the Baptist for a moment, that we can compare more accurately or more particularly with Elijah and Elisha. John the Baptist. pointed out Jesus was a forerunner in the sense that he gathered the people together as in an auditorium, and the auditorium was Israel. Jesus, John the Baptist, pointing out Jesus, pointing out the construction of a church with availability to both Jew and Gentile, but one with national self-exclusion of Israel. It felt murderously inclined as a nation, and it killed the kindness of the king. Just as our modern generation is having the same effect in trying to kill the gospel. This is just one more idol. It must be quite clear, it is an idol. Something from nothing indeed. Magnificence from no work indeed. How ludicrous. The idols of today are as real, as rampant, as ridiculous, as horrendous, like being possessed by an evil spirit. The cultural conformity. So John the Baptist was pointing to Jesus, the construction of a church, available to Jew and Gentile, but Israel avoided their deliverance and incited the terrible sufferings of thousands of years by murdering their prince, the Prince of Life. Was Israel cut off and finished forever? Not at all. Romans 11:11 says, have they stumbled that they should fall? Is that the end of Israel? No, certainly not. He says, certainly not. And he goes on in Romans 11 to trace the whole schedule of things. Israel at first, called of God. Their faith, described as the tree of faith. They are in that tree as a branch. They murder their king. The branch is cut off. The Gentiles are grafted in. The Gentiles lead on a people from all the nations coming to Christ. Then the nations become idolaters, just as Israel had been. So the nations are now facing what Elijah and Elisha were indicating for Israel. Now the whole world looks like being cut off and will be removed. Not just Israel, that was a parallel, a parable, and a principle. See what happened to Israel? Check up with Elijah, Elisha. Look what's happening to this world. Check up to John the Baptist who led on to Christ. Just as Israel was resurrected as a nation, in due time. So Christ was resurrected as the leader, the light, and the Lord. Source of all light, of all restoration, in all simplicity for salvation. You can see the phases in Israel as we move to contrast with Elijah and Elisha to John the Baptist. For Israel, there was their call through Abraham, their Christ, whom they killed. There is the return to their land, which has happened. And there's a return to the Lord, the next step. Now we turn to look at some of the realities of the parallel. If you will receive it, this is Elijah. Said Jesus, speaking of John the Baptist. Why? Because Elijah was predicted to come. He was predicted to be a great event. Who was Elijah? John the Baptist, says Christ. Let me interpret that prophecy for you. This is the modern day Elijah. In what is there a parable? Well, John the Baptist pointed to Christ, the Lord, the light, the Savior. Elijah and Elisha pointed to Israel, doomed. If they wouldn't see the magnificence of all these miracles, doomed to be cut off. They said, here is the wonder of God, and many, many, many miracles they did. Marvelous miracles. Look at the wonder, say they, those prophets. They said in their day, hundreds of years before Christ. Look at the wonders of Christ and look at the destruction and the horror and the ravagement. That is the lot of those who reject the living God. One will come. There will be a deliverer. Elijah will come, meaning the new Elijah, the greater than Elijah, the fulfillment of the very testimony of Elijah, which was, see the magnificence of God, look at his power, see his nearness, or perish, your whole nation. And John the Baptist, look at Christ, here he comes, I am not worthy to unloose his sandal strap. Look at him. Rejoice at the wonders of Christ, or leave it and perish, the whole world, Gentiles included. That was a trailer. This is the truth. This is where it ends. Let me tell you something of the examples of Elijah and Elisha in their work to give you an idea of the force and magnitude that was present here. First, of course, there is Mount Carmel. 1 Kings 18. There's going to be a drought, said Elijah to the king, Ahab. An Israeli king who had married the daughter of an idolatrous leader of another nation. He'd actually gone so far as to marry the daughter of an idolatrous nation. An absolute flagrant disregard of the Lord's directions. Don't mix and marry. Don't go with idolaters. Be clean. Be separate. Be sure. Know what you're doing. Keep to the Lord. Follow his word. You're here to replace those people, to replace those practices, to replace those idols with the truth. So don't get mixed up in it so that your hands are bound with the general idea. So Elijah went along with great courage to Ahab the king. At God's request, Elijah knew God very closely. So he delivered a message. There was going to be no rain. God was going to deal with the people. For years it went on. Many of the people of the Lord had been afflicted. And now it was confrontation. So, they searched for Elijah. The king wanted to find this wretched prophet who spoke of a 3-year drought. As in 17 of 1 Kings. Get that man for me, said the king to his forces. But they couldn't find him. Then Elijah went down and fearlessly presented himself to Abraham. You go straight up to Ahab. You go straight up to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. All right, it looks as if the end of the drought is going to come, so how's it going to be done? So Elijah went to Ahab, and there was a severe famine, and Ahab had called a man called Obadiah, 18:3, and he was in charge of his house. So while Jezebel had been the wife of Ahab, had been slaying many prophets and getting for herself a disastrous end, you have now this confrontation. Elijah sent at the end of the 3-year drought, makes himself available. Here I am, king. Here I am. I'm here. And so the king's manager leads Elijah to Abraham. So he said, how have I sinned that you are delivering your servant to the hand of Ahab? He'll kill me. I'll be there, said Elijah. You can be assured. And so he was there, all right. As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So, self-revelation by the persecuted and pursued Elijah, coming up bold as brass to the king. When he said, saw Elijah, ah, here is this wretched prophet. Prophets have one major purpose, but to bring people back to spiritual sanity before they're destroyed. So when Elijah met the king, is that you? Said the king to Elijah. You troubler of Israel. Then Elijah replied, I haven't troubled Israel. You have, your majesty. You're the trouble. You will notice a certain boldness. You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals, that is, the idols, the false lords. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel. Let's have an experimental test. And let's set up a laboratory, in other words, on the top of this Mount Carmel. 450 prophets of the idolaters, of the Baals, saying, this is the true God. We are the authentic worshippers. Listen to us. And Elijah, 1 against 400, saying, far from it. The God of creation, the God of excellence, the God of power, the God of glory, the God of our whole testimony is still God. He hasn't changed. He doesn't change. You are an innovator. That was the effect of what he was presenting. And so, Ahab gathered all the false prophets together. Easy to do now, as it would be to have a congregation of Darwinists. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long, this is a very famous challenge, how long will you halt between two opinions? Some people want to cling to the idea, but the fact was that Darwin had a little idea in his nodule. He'd never seen any such things happen. Gradually he lost whatever false faith he had, until he ended up with no God. Well, if you've got no God, then there's nothing. You can't start anything with nothing. How ridiculous. But there was a personal matter with Darwin, and he just guessed that no God started at all. Nothing started at all. And all the work was done by nothing and its derivatives. How utterly, completely ridiculous. How long will you halt between two opinions? How long will you look to nature and become nature worshippers, which many of them were? When will you realize God made nature? It didn't make itself. The thought was there to do it. So, the issue is put. The two sides are represented, one by one and one by 400. And Elijah said to the people, I alone, verse 22, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. So, they're going to have a sacrifice. They put the thing slaughtered, and let them give two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves. Cut it in pieces, put it on the wood, and I'll prepare the other bull, and lay it on the bull, and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of my God. And the God who answers by fire, that's God. Experimental test, laboratory conditions, perfect comparison. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first. If you are many and calling on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull, took no fire on it, put no fire on it, and there was no voice that answered. Then they leaped about the altar. Oh God, hear us! Oh Baal, hear us! They leapt around, dancing, hoping that their non-existent God would hear them. But what is non-existent is hard of hearing. And so it was all at noon that Elijah mocked at them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he's meditating. Perhaps your God is having a little time of quiet thought. Perhaps that's why he's not answering. Or maybe he's busy. Oh, well, you'll have to wait, wouldn't you, was the idea. Or maybe he's on a journey, he's travelling somewhere, can't hear you for the moment. Perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So he mocked them and mocked them. They cried aloud, they cut themselves, as were their custom, with knives and lances, if maybe Baal would hear and see. And when midday was past, they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Verse 29, but there was no voice. Nothing doesn't have a voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. It's marvelous how you can wait for the attention of what isn't there. And it's marvelous how this world currently waits for the attention of their gods of nature, of ferocity and fury, of blood and claw, ignoring the realities that put nature there and put the curse on man there, because the curse made things not only worse, it brought in horror and vengeance and lying and fraud and hatred and the death of millions because of the latest idol. As for Stalin, as with Mayo, when midday was past, what happened? So Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. It's obvious that Baal has failed. So he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, verse 31, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come. Israel shall be your name. With these stones he built an altar. He put wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood and said, now pour water on it. pour water on the burnt sacrifice. That would make it especially hard for anyone other God than God, of course, to burn a fire. You're not going to pour water on wood and then hope to start a fire. Then he said, do it a second time. So they poured more water on the sacrifice. Then he said, do it a third time. So they poured more water on the sacrifice. So water ran all around the altar, and it filled a trench with water. After that, Elijah the prophet came and said, Lord God of Abraham, verse 36, of Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day, experimental tests, laboratory conditions, completely fair, except in the case of Elijah's altar, it's filled with water. I am your servant, let it be known that I have done all these things at your word, and those things involve condemning idolatry and commending Christ and showing his wonder and his love and his power for those who would receive it. This Elijah, a forerunner of John the Baptist, who pointed out Christ himself. O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, verse 18, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, 39. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So the thing was experimentally shown in this very famous Mount Carmel experience. And so the Lord sent rain. That was he had made the point. And now that the people had woken up, the Lord, he is God. Then the rain came, and poor old Elijah had to move very fast, because Queen Jezebel wouldn't be too long, for she was after his blood. She had had her false prophets killed, according to the law of Israel. When you have false prophets, they die. And they're shown to be false prophets because it doesn't come to pass. Experimental evidence. The same with Darwin. It doesn't come to pass. Where are all the failed efforts of God to make things? There aren't any. They're not found. There are only things that work. And so with Elijah, this was the thing that worked. And Israel was following what didn't work and leading themselves, allying themselves with people of other cultures, of idols, just as the West has done, just as poor USA has done, just as poor Britain has come, where they say things are looking economically as bad as for hundreds of years. False alliance. Mesalliance, alas. It costs anything. Avoid the truth. And when the truth avoids you, it costs. So it was a race against time. Could Elijah get down from the mountain and away before Jezebel could send forth to kill him? Yes, he did. He ran. He stopped famously under a juniper tree. He was away from the immediate conflict. He ran himself into a quiet spot. Oh Lord, I'm no better than my fathers, he cried. All those prophets, it was his action that killed them. I'm no better than my fathers. He was feeling absolutely spent. Go. So he was given a special cake, and he ran for many days until he came to a famous mountain, and there he waited on the Lord. Another famous thing happened. Fire, earthquake sent. The Lord wasn't there. So here's Elijah on his private mountain. Fire and earthquake. No, nothing happens. Where's God? What am I here for? What am I here for? Always a grand question. I always remember going into a church to preach, just after I'd been kicked out of a woman before they'd flung me wide. And I heard the voice of the person reading the lesson. I must have been a little late. What are you doing here, Elijah? It was a very telling question. So, eventually the Lord spoke. Quiet. Quiet. Can you hear? Still, small voice, it's called. Still, small voice. And he told him a whole lot of things he had to do. Somebody had to anoint somebody as king. What he had to do in his own private dimension. He was given things to be done. Step two, get all this done. Get on with it. And so he went on with it and did great things, one marvel after another. Elijah and Elisha used these things to say, look out, Israel, you have a wonderful God, and if you won't listen, there'll be calamity. Look what happened to those false prophets. What do you want to be? Where do you want to stand? And so John the Baptist, he was used to introduce Christ, the new Elijah, Elijah too, or putting it more correctly, perhaps, a parallel to Elijah, speaking not just to the nation, but speaking of the one and only, the Christ, the King, the Lord of the Gentiles, the Lord of Israel. And it is this Christ who leads us on to see the various resurrections. First, there was the resurrection of Israel. Then there was the resurrection of Israel, a believing nation that's to come. There was, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, comprehensive for all who take it, as the Jews will, as Zechariah has shown, in a great mass, shortly, no doubt, it would appear to come, since when Jerusalem is back in Jewish hands, Christ's return is near, and so that must be near. Then you have the major resurrection, the one for all and for any, that of Christ, the resurrection of Israel as a nation, the resurrection of Israel as a believing nation. And then you have the resurrection of believers, those who believe. And here is the vast resurrection. You see the pulse of Elijah and Elisha, and I hope to give a number of more examples of their work as they warned one nation, and then John the Baptist leading to Christ, warning all nations, warning the whole world. Then said Christ, Then there will come such tribulation, that means trouble and difficulty and upset and disaster. Then there will come such tribulation as there has never been before in this world. And as there never will be again. And that's what we're heading for. And the work of this one little virus, and its variations, these viruses, they vary about a norm, that's the way of it. So you have this one, disrupting nations, bringing nations to their knees. None are hidden. There shall be plagues with an S. If Britain can be brought back so far by one, what of the next? There is no hope in an Israel that won't turn to their God, or a world which does the same, having tasted of Christ. Nation after nation has turned from him. The USA, Britain, much of Europe, all over the place. They've turned to their silly little idols of Darwin and all the other things that went with it. And now they're beginning to come back, as the book by Harvard PhD tells us. with various statistical tests to show that our genes are deteriorating. They've always been deteriorating. They will continue to deteriorate, and the race will continue to be threatened by extinction, as Christ warned. Unless I intervene, the human race couldn't continue. That's what he said. And that is the current position, and the current position, therefore, is replacing Darwin, that's the name of the book, and replacing this world, yes, that will come. But first, Christ comes back, we are to be resurrected, and I am looking forward to it as a marvel of marvels, a wonder of wonders, to retain my individuality, to be a person still. I go to prepare a place for you, said Christ, so that where I am, you can be too. Amen. Our Father, we praise thee for thy goodness to us, and for the way the scripture staggers our mentality and brings things home to us by having remarkable things like this parallel between Elijah and John the Baptist, between the things of one nation and the things of the whole world. We thank thee, O Lord, for the extreme simplicity with which you put so much, as in Romans 11 and the olive tree and the grafting. What beautiful simplicity. What beautiful grace to give us a place. Amen.